Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
One heck of a weekend. Whew. One heck of a sports weekend. Except for Friday evening, which is weird because typically Major League Baseball dominates the first Friday in sports with what is typically a quadruple header of division series, but didn't happen that way. So it was the calm before the storm. And Saturday and Sunday, nonstop. We have recently dubbed October the fulcrum in sports, which is why you need us. What also why we need you. We have a symbiotic relationship, if you will, and it's good to connect with you again on a Sunday night to kick off the work week. Though, as I understand it, many of you, some of you, a lot of you, have Monday off. Weirdly enough, some of my kiddos on Sunday morning in church were telling me they have a half day on Monday. That doesn't make any sense. If you have a half day, you still have to wake up early and get to school, which of course still throws the family schedule into flux if you've got parents who are working. But whatevs. It was a different group on Sunday morning in my Sunday school class because of the fact that it's a holiday weekend for a lot of people. So if that's the case and you have a long weekend, well, we're okay with you joining us in a tardy fashion, but you better be careful because you'll miss it. So if you do miss anything, our podcast is available first thing on Monday morning since we are here and we are going full tilt through the next 4 hours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And because it's a holiday weekend and because it's the night going into a day off for many people, we know a lot of you may actually be hearing the show for the first time or the first time in a long time. It's one of the reasons I enjoy working holidays. We have a bit of a different audience. So again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, you all who are with us on a regular basis, if you follow us on social media, you know that we do an After Hours Game of the Week poll every Thursday night into Friday morning. So it's our last show before we launch you forward into the weekend. And so for that reason, we do a poll that gives you the chance to pick the After Hours Game of the Week. Well, overwhelmingly, it was Dallas at San Francisco. The Cowboys at the Niners in the Bay Area. Nearly 69% of you chose that as the Game of the Week. And honestly, you were not alone because there was some kind of megawatt star power in Santa Clara for Sunday Night Football. Lots of former Niners and Cowboys wondering if this was a clash of the Titans. As it turns out, because I never vote for the game that everybody else does for some reason, Ravens and Steelers was my pick, and some of you did give me props for choosing that AFC North battle as the game of the week. It did turn out to be a doozy and real incredible twists and turns at the end of the game, so we'll get to that one coming up. We also had Jaguars and Bills in London. Now, see, I'm here standing on my soapbox every time we talk about NFL games across the pond, saying that there should be absolutely zero consideration given, as in zero Fs given for moving an NFL team to London. I don't care if you move an entire division to London, it's still inequitable and would completely tilt the playing field, except the Jaguars go to London with a losing record at 1-2. They come back from London and the UK at 3-2. A lot will be said about how the Bills chose to travel, though it's not just the Bills, right? Is there a formula? Maybe the Jaguars have it. They play two games in a row in London. They don't come back in between for obvious reasons. They settle into a steady routine, their typical routine, as much as possible when they are across the pond. I can't even say it without my faux British accent. Anyway, because the NFL put them there 2 weeks in a row, it gave them an advantage. It certainly seemed like the Bills were sluggish and lackluster, maybe a little tired to start the game. Not that it's any excuse. It's not. Teams that have to travel from the West Coast to the East Coast a lot of times feel the same way. You just got to fight through it. That was another choice or another option for game of the week. And then Eagles and Rams. So I'll say this. The three games that did not win in the poll, the three games that were overwhelmingly dwarfed, dare I say overlooked, turned out to be far better games than, at least in terms of the competition, than what we got in the Bay Area. All right, so every week we do multiple polls, but it's the poll that is the game of the week that we use to wrap up as we head into a football weekend. On this edition of the show, we will generate a new poll for Monday MVP, and it's based on some of the gaudy stats and individual performances, though I know you can look at the Niners, and while sometimes the stats are gaudy, it is so clear that right now, this is the most complete team in the NFL. Yes, the Eagles are still 5-0. So once again, we get through another weekend for the most part. We have Monday Night Football still coming. But we get through a weekend in which the Eagles and the Niners have yet to lose. But you watch the Eagles, and I don't believe they're playing their best football yet. All right, so the Eagles were on the road in L.A., and yeah, it was a super busy first half. There were four touchdowns between the two teams. We saw Matthew Stafford and his offense go toe-to-toe with the Eagles' D, and then Jalen Hurts, even though he was feeling some extra pressure, he and A.J. Brown and others on that offense able to establish a rhythm themselves and actually take a lead into the halftime locker room. But did you see what happened in the second half? The Rams go scoreless, so credit to the Eagles' D, but the Eagles only manage a pair of field goals. I don't believe we've seen the best of the Eagles yet. But we definitely have seen the best of the Niners. Every given situation, they can beat you a variety of ways. And on this Sunday night game, they manhandled the Cowboys. They blasted the Cowboys. They dominated the Cowboys in every way possible. Coming up in, we'll say about 50, as in 50 cents. No, not 50 cents. 50 minutes. I do like 50 cents, though. It used to buy you a soda. It doesn't anymore. Vending machines are expensive these days. Coming up at the top of next hour, we'll welcome a new guest to the show. Her name is Kate Rooney. She actually listens to the show on a regular basis, so that's kind of cool. In the Bay Area for KRON Channel 4, she was on the field covering this game between Niners and Cowboys. And so we'll get her perspective as San Francisco gets the George Kittle game, if you will. Did you know George Kittle, the all-pro tight end for the Niners, had yet to haul in a touchdown this season?
Purdy back. Time. Steps around from DeMarcus Lawrence. Throws for the end zone. Caught by George Kittle. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Boy, what a start. First drive for this offense. I figured Brock Purdy was going to have to use his legs a little bit in this game. He feels the pressure out to the right. He steps up, steps out to the right, and finds Kittle running a corner route, and there's just nobody around him, and drops it right on the 5 of the 85 for an easy touchdown. What a play by Purdy.
Here's an end around and a flea flicker. Back to Brock Purdy, takes a shot down the sideline to George Kittle. Kittle all the way to the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco!
With a little razzle dazzle. Reverse flea flicker. They flip it to McCaffrey. He flips it back to Debo. Debo flips it to Purdy, and Purdy drops it to George Kittle down the sidelines.
It was almost as though the San Francisco 49ers wanted to reinvent football on that particular play, or to make sure as many members of the offense touch the ball as possible before Purdy tossed it over the top to Greg. I do that all the time. To George Kittle. I'm sorry, George. I have no idea why you look like a Greg to me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I will own that. It happens a lot. George hauls in the first two touchdowns for the San Francisco 49ers and his first two scores of the season. And really, beyond that, it was a bit of a slow start. Actually, after the first touchdown drive, which was the opening drive of the game, as you hear on Niners radio, then it kind of got slogged down. But that was really the only point in the game where it felt like the two teams were on even footing. Because Christian McCaffrey had a fumble near the goal line, maybe stunted their development or their rhythm a little bit. But the Dallas offense takes over and gets promptly stuffed by the San Francisco D. And that's what I mean about the Niners being able to beat you a variety of ways. If it's not the offense, the rare mistake by the offense, the rare Christian McCaffrey fumble, gosh, when does he ever not do everything he's supposed to do and then some? He is the golden boy. But he actually loses the ball, except it's no big thing for the Niners D because they stuffed Dallas. And so then the very next snap, you have Purdy going to George Kittle. See, I did it that time. With a couple of different flea flicks. A couple of different passes. It reminded me a little bit of what Andy Reid likes to do with the Chiefs offense. It's like, watch the shiny object. And then you just get confused with the motion and the different ways that the backfield breaks and the different misdirection plays.
That was beautiful.
It was actually really impressive. Now, Dallas does answer, and I was waiting. I was waiting for the Cowboys to push back, if you will. Dallas does come up with its best drive of the night right after that. 11 plays, 78 yards, pay dirt.
Prescott gets the snap. Back to pass. Rush coming. Prescott going deep. Down the right side. Got a man. It's caught. Touchdown, Cowboys. It's Kevontae Turpin racing to the right corner of the end zone. And Prescott dropped it in the bucket. A perfect throw by Dak Prescott. And the Cowboys are on the board.
Kevontae Turpin with the 26-yard touchdown catch, and that had to feel like a bit of a relief for Cowboys fans who are watching. They're able to cut into that lead, but honestly, the wheels come off for Dallas in the second half, right? So whatever it is that Dak Prescott is going through right now, and I know it's a different offense, it's a different system, it's a different way of communicating the system. It's Mike McCarthy calling plays. It's Dak trying to get comfortable with a different voice in his head. But this looks more like a Dak thing to me than it does a Mike McCarthy / coaching staff / poor game plan thing. There are moments where Dak delivers the throws. He extends plays. He looks comfortable. There are other moments where it's the complete opposite for Dak Prescott, where he looks more like a middling quarterback who's got zero experience. He looks more like Bryce Young, and he doesn't know what's happening at and what's coming at him. My apologies to Bryce, but he is a rookie quarterback who's struggling right now. Sometimes Dak looks like he hasn't spent nearly a decade in the league. He looks like he is unfamiliar or uncertain or maybe even hesitant. So in the second half, he throws three interceptions on three consecutive drives. Brock Purdy only sticks around long enough to throw his fourth touchdown before he leaves the game. A good number of the Niners starters don't even play in the fourth quarter. And San Francisco can kick back, Max relax, and move to 5-0, while the Cowboys fall to 3-2. 421 yards of offense for the Niners against a Dallas defense that had been stingy, even against Arizona. And I know when we talked about that Cardinals game, when the Cowboys played in the desert a couple weeks ago, they allowed the Cardinals to score on the first five drives of the game, right? So a little uncharacteristic. And the Cardinals were able to run the ball a ton, which the Niners were as well. But this is different. This was different because the Niners beat them through the air, beat them on the ground, were able to find the weakness, exploit it, and really never let the Cowboys get off the mat, if you will, or out of the starting blocks. I suppose we could say that. They did have the one solid drive, but otherwise, not even 200 yards of offense against the Niners defense, which clearly right now is the better unit. 4 for 5 in the red zone, 25 first downs to just 8 for Dallas. That is a telling stat. It speaks to productivity. It speaks to opportunity. It speaks to momentum. It speaks to rhythm. It speaks to the Niners defense continually getting the ball back from Dallas and putting it in the hands of the offense.
I thought that was our best complete game with all three phases. I thought our defense was amazing today, going against some real good players and a good offense there. And I knew that was going to be a challenge, and those guys were unbelievable. I thought it was their best game yet.
I didn't see this coming. I thought their prep was good this week. So I thought we had one of our better Fridays and Saturdays of the year. But I think, like we've talked about before, sometimes you have a great week of preparation and it doesn't go so well, and some weeks it's not the best week of preparation, you play well. So we did not hit the mark at all today.
Initial comments from the two head coaches. Kyle Shanahan calling it the most complete win they've had on both sides of the ball, plus special teams. And then Mike McCarthy didn't see it coming. And now what? We'll get more reaction from the Bay Area, plus Kate Rooney will join us at the top of the hour. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Can't wait to connect with you. We have a lot to get to. We generally use all 4 hours of our Sunday night show to talk NFL and the schedule and all the implications, or as much as we can get into. But what about playoff baseball? Because we're into the division series now, and the American League had a doubleheader on Sunday. So we'll have to also make a little bit of room. We'll have to squeeze over in a crowded center ring at the circus and make room for some playoff baseball. Though we've got playoff baseball all week. It's just that it may be over sooner rather than later for at least one team. Hope you had a great weekend. Mine was a whole lot of hanging out in my sweatpants in the house. It was so nice. It was so nice. Got a lot done, but didn't go very far. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the
Facts are facts.
like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus doorbusters. Get up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
After Hours Podcast.
Prescott back in the gun, hands in front of his chest, waits on the shotgun snap, and he's got it. Back to pass, looks left, throws left on the slant, pass, bad, intercepted, picked off by Warner. Down the near side of the 30, avoids one tackle and goes down at the 26. Second interception thrown tonight by Prescott. D'Amador Lenore deflected it right into the arms of Fred Warner. Prescott in the gun, hands in front of his chest, gets the snap, back to pass, looks, throws right on the slant, intercepted right into the hands of Oren Burks, who gets up, runs down the far sideline, and is knocked out of bounds at the 46. Third interception thrown by Prescott tonight. Fourth Dallas turnover, and the 49ers keep their foot firmly on the gas pedal.
Didn't see it coming. As you said, put everything into this and got punched in the mouth. Called a couple of weeks ago, humbling against Arizona. But this may be the most humbling game I've ever been a part of. Felt good about the preparation. Felt good about everything, honestly, coming into this game, matchups, and they beat us in every aspect.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A humbled Dak Prescott and one who maybe looks like he's hesitant or right now not extremely confident. It's not as though he doesn't have the pieces in place. Even though the Niners pose a very stiff challenge on defense, we know that to be sure. This was uncharacteristic. This was a Dak Prescott that almost appears to be second-guessing or is making the types of mental mistakes that rookies or young quarterbacks make, not the types of mistakes that he should be making at this point in his career. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan Radke with the calls from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. And then Greg Papa is the play-by-play voice on Niners Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. couple of Lions fans weighing in to let me know or to remind me. Obviously did see it. We haven't heard the highlights yet from the Lions game. We will talk about the Lions, of course, because they are 4-1 for the first time since 2011. But
enjoy the sunlight.
Some of you pointing out to me that they did the exact same play or their own iteration of the double flea flicker. The wrinkle in time. And yes, I was joking when I said the Niners were out to reinvent football because there is nothing new under the sun in football. It's very much a copycat league. So find us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear your reaction to week 5 in the NFL. But for the Cowboys, as you hear, they've got no choice but to watch the tape and try to figure out what the heck they can do moving forward.
Clearly just shows where we are as a team. We're 3-2. You know, our consistency, you know, even when we played really well and did some things, when you look at the three games that were won by, you know, a big margin, and then the Arizona game where, you know, the pre-snap penalties and, you know, that showed up again tonight.
Wasn't the result that we wanted, but, you know, we just got to get back to the drawing board. We got to go in, watch this game, you know, see what we need to improve on, you know, see how we need to attack, and we got to respond. You know, that's what matters the most at this point in time. You know, this may have been, you know, a measuring stick game or whatever people call it, but we got to focus on the next week because, you know, that's all we can control at this point is how we respond.
The idea that it's a gauge, a measuring stick, that can be accurate. When you go up against teams that are better than you are, when you go up against teams that are expected to be playoff contenders, or right now they're Super Bowl contenders, lots of talk about the Super Bowl around the Niners. They don't try to hide it. That is, in fact, their goal. They've been to a couple going back to the 2012 season, right? So our first playoffs here on CBS Sports Radio in 2013, they were in the Super Bowl against the Ravens. Ravens end up winning that Super Bowl. They also get back against the Chiefs after the 2019 season. It was a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. They aren't able to hold it against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, but I do remember on NFL Films, the mic'd up montage that they did from the Super Bowl. And George Kittle said over and over, we'll be back. We'll be back here. We'll be back. Even as the Niners were losing that game. So here they are now. They've been to back-to-back NFC championships again. The one piece that's been such a glaring issue for the Niners has been the revolving door at quarterback. And granted, every team has injuries, so we're just going to take that off the table because that's a great equalizer. They've had injuries at other positions, but so has every other team. I mean, think about what the Cowboys are missing now on the defensive side of the ball. If the Niners can use one quarterback all the way through the season, they're obviously the best team in the league right now. So for the Cowboys to stand next to them, to measure up, to see how they compare, to see how much of a challenge they can mount against the Niners, that's important right now. But there's still a long way to go. Micah Parsons keeps talking about how you've got to go through adversity to be a champion. You've got to face some real tough challenges to figure out what you're made of. He's used the term battle-tested. Well, the Niners certainly will put you through a war. And on this night, Cowboys didn't have any legit answer. Not a sustainable answer, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. The defense for the Niners, gosh, it's flashy. And it's gaudy, and it's bold, it's brash. 4 sacks and 4 takeaways. So 3 interceptions, and then I think there's a Tony Pollard fumble in there as well. But yeah, Fred Warner, what does this say to the rest of the NFL?
Obviously, that we're dangerous. But it's not even about the other teams to us. You know, it's all about us. Every single game, it's all about us. You know, we understand the opportunity that we have. And it's about just taking it 1 week at a time. Regardless of who we're playing, we got to uphold the standard and play to the best of our ability every single game. And if we do that, then we'll like the result.
I'm definitely incredibly confident in our offense. And for our D lineman to get pulled, and I think the 5 minutes left in the third quarter is against a team like that shows that we're kind of on a different level this year.
Nick Bosa and Fred Warner spearheading the energy and the electricity of that defense. You can see a crackle. You can see a pop. Christian McCaffrey wasn't even the lead back for the Niners. He didn't have a 4-touchdown game like Brock Purdy, actually. First time passing for 4 touchdowns in the same game. But that's the beauty of this team. At least at this point. Now, winning makes everything better. Winning makes everything easier. But right now, it doesn't seem to matter to the various members of the team who gets the ball, who pads the stats, who ends up as Monday MVP.
Such a fun win to be a part of, man, when you have so many guys who played so well. And, man, the defense played lights out. That's a good defense. And to win like that is a testament to, you know, the character of this team and how well we can play.
Feels like everyone's just on a mission, man. Like, the mindset is right where it needs to. Everyone's so detailed in what they do. The play calls are great. So it's like all I got to do is go out there, do my job, and that's it, and just play ball. So obviously we feel good where we're at, but there's still areas we can still get better at.
Yeah, but not a bad statement, not a bad performance against a team that was only allowing 10 points per game on defense. They throw a 42 spot up on them. Wowzers. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We've got so much to get to. I feel like I don't even have time for small talk, so you'll forgive me if I remain all business. Coming up, we'll look at the other team that was trying to move to 5-0. And then top of the hour, head to the Bay Area and welcome Kate Rooney from KRON. She's a big fan of the show. We're excited to have her after she covered this game.
I'm Eli Roth. In the upcoming second season of my podcast, A Ghost Ruined My Life from Travel, you'll hear real horrifying accounts from actual victims who came face to face with a paranormal and survived.
It was the shape of a small human, and it was pure blackness, like nothing I've ever seen before in my life.
A ghost? You saw a ghost?
Yeah, I did.
Listen to A Ghost Ruined My Life with Eli Roth from Travel wherever you get your podcasts, and prepare to be terrified.
The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6 is sleek, full of advanced tech, and has a range of up to 360 miles. Any drawbacks? Yeah, every Ioniq 6 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit, so you're going to have to figure out something else to spend that money on. The all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 6. Hyundai, it's your journey.
EPA estimated 361 mile range for Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Actual range varies based on trim and other factors. Actual charge time varies based on charging unit output, temperature, and other factors. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Greetings, podcast listeners. This is world-renowned, self-proclaimed couples therapist, Dr. Sheila. And I'd like to invite all of you to experience my couples therapy podcast, Say More. On the pod, I talk to couples and you get to listen in on other people's problems and then feel better about your own.
Say More with Dr. Sheila features Amy Poehler as Dr. Sheila. Listen and follow to Say More with Dr. Sheila on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.
At Levi's Stadium.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
looks left, fires, front pylon. That's caught, put him up. That's a touchdown. 2-2 Atwell. And the Rams march right down the field and answer.
Here's the snap, looking right, lobs it for Puka. End zone, leaping catch. Got it! Puka Nacua! A 22-yard go-ahead touchdown after a walk-off of the same distance last week in Indy. He takes the Rams into the half with the lead. 13-10 the new score.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
A busy first half in Los Angeles between the other undefeated team and the Rams. So a different iteration on the NFC North versus NFC West. It took place in that second window on Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Can't believe we're nearly through the bulk of week five. I don't know how that happened. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too. We'd love to connect with you. Also our YouTube channel. Don't have time to talk about it tonight, but you all were blowing it up this weekend with our last couple videos being a two-part series. Yeah, Cooper Kupp back with the Los Angeles Rams, and yet Puka Nacua, the rookie, still catching a touchdown. Tutu Atwell does as well, and somehow they managed to give six catches to Cooper Kupp, who can pretty much catch anything. He actually nearly eclipsed the 100-yard mark in the first half. So the Rams were game against the Eagles right away, though the Eagles take a lead on this ability to quick strike, right? They're able to run the ball and control the ball and they're able to dominate time of possession if that's the type of style they choose to play. But they can also hurt you by going deep and by taking the top off the defense. Boy, do I love that phrase. They can also find A.J. Brown down the sideline or send Devontae Smith on a go route. Whatever it is, they're able to use those receivers as well to keep defenses off balance, to make sure they can't just load the box and stuff the run, right? So it's late second quarter, 32 seconds left, and that's all the Eagles have, and yet somehow they're still able to squeeze in one more touchdown before they head to the halftime locker room. Now, there were a couple of Rams penalties on that drive too, which I'm sure they would love to have back or love to have those moments back helping out the Eagles, but the way that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, even thinking about the tight end position too and the way they utilize the tight ends, the fact is that they can stretch out the defense, but they can also pound opposing defenses into a submission. And for Jalen Hurts, the way that he's starting to gobble up Eagles' offensive records, starting to eclipse some of the Michael Vick marks, yeah, he's staying healthy. He's big himself. He does take a pounding. He's not afraid of that, but he absorbs a lot of those hits. And then he also gets help from, what are they calling it now? The tush push. He gets help from his brothers on the offensive line.
Well, they only had one of those today.
And he's not even on the field.
The Eagles scored. No, he's not. He's not. Now they do line up in that.
Oh, there he is.
They do. He's out there. He pushes and sneaks, and here it is. We look. Touchdown, Eagles. It works again.
Couldn't stop it.
They could not stop it.
So Jalen Hurts gets help from his offensive line, and we've seen that a lot. But he was also busy on his own. Do you know he had a season high in rushing attempts, 15, also had a season high in rushing yards at 72, and he even had more yards than did DeAndre Swift. But while that is something that, again, that the Eagles can do, and they can use that to control the ball and control the time of possession to keep it away from opposing quarterbacks, to keep it away from opposing offenses, like a Matthew Stafford, who's got multiple ways that he can distribute the ball and hurt defenses too, and especially in a second half where it really slows down, right? The Eagles only managed a pair of field goals in the second half, but you know they take 14 minutes off the clock for those two drives that result in field goals. So that's the idea, is they can throw it at you quick, they can hit you hard, but they can also slow it down and wear out opposing defenses because of the time of possession. So we really got both of those elements of the Eagles in this game in Los Angeles. So yeah, there was an interception in there by Jalen Hurts, but really the fact that the defense is able to keep the Rams out of the end zone in the second half, in fact, hold them scoreless altogether, and then take essentially a quarter off the clock, erase an entire quarter where the Rams don't even touch the football. I know they'd rather get into the end zone than have the field goals and settle for the pair of field goals, but in a second half in which there was far less offense, the Eagles can play that game as well. So they move to 5-0 and keep pace with the Niners in the NFC.
Winning is the main thing, you know, and that's probably there's nothing more important than that. You know, winning is truly the main thing, and challenging yourself every day to play to a standard that you desire and want to, and you work to play to, is a priority as well. And so we just want to continue to grow.
Our offensive line did a great job, and I thought we were really physical out there today. We got some dirty yards out there in the run game today.
Dirty yards. I love that from Nick Sirianni. Some dirty yards. It sounds so gritty. Trying to think about the teams in the NFL that excel in dirty yards. Definitely the Eagles when they play that ball control game. Who else excels in dirty yards? Oh, gosh. The Steelers excel. Well, they don't excel in anything offensively right now, but they can get the dirty yards.
Some dirty yards out there.
The Ravens certainly get the dirty yards. Who else gets dirty yards? Goodness. Buffalo can play the dirty yard game. The dirty yardage game. It sounds like something that you could take to a party, maybe. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. As for the Rams, yeah, they go scoreless in the second half. So all the fist pumps for Sean McVay kind of dried up after halftime.
Disappointed with the inability to be able to play off of one another. But we're going to come back. We're going to look at this film. We're going to figure out where we can be better, and we're going to respond, and I can promise you that.
Welcome back, Cooper Kupp. 8 catches, 118 yards. I didn't even know there were that many yards available for him with the way that we've seen Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Tutu Atwell kind of step up. But Puka does get the touchdown, and it's a volume for Cooper Kupp.
Against a good Eagles team that possesses the ball like they do, they really make you play a really good game offensively, and just a few too many mistakes. But, man, it just felt like it was right there. It was right there for us.
So the Eagles 5-0, the Niners 5-0, and those two, at least initially, are setting the pace. But, you know who the Super Bowl champions are, correct? And while they did lose their opener on a Thursday night to the Detroit Lions, we'll talk about the Lions next hour, you can see that the Chiefs are still the same team, and they're not giving up the throne quickly, easily, and certainly not yet. Patrick Mahomes and the offense takes a ton of the attention. The defense, though, it can do its job when required. And I love the veterans on the Chiefs side of the ball, the Chiefs defensive side of the ball, like a Chris Jones, but he's not the only one. A real challenge for the Chiefs in Minneapolis against a Vikings team that can pass the ball. They can chuck and duck. But an early fumble by the Minnesota Vikings, and Kansas City's able to take that short field and turn it into a touchdown. Vikings actually grabbed the lead in this one late in the second quarter because they go on a 12-play drive. And actually, it included a fake punt. Did you see it? It's like everybody in the building could feel it brewing. The broadcast, I don't remember who was doing the game, but the broadcast even mentions, oh, they're ripe for a fake punt. And they actually did do that, a direct snap, a rush for 5 yards or so. And that leads to the Jordan Addison touchdown catch late in the first half. They were actually tied at 13 at halftime. But Kansas City, they can hit the gas. right? They've got a different gear that a lot of teams don't have, and that's what we got to see in the third quarter against the Vikes.
Justin Watson in motion, left to right, right to left in front of the face of Mahomes, who takes the snap, rush to the outside, pass, caught on a slam, touchdown, Kansas City, Rashee Rice with his second catch of the drive. The wide receivers show up big time, and the Chiefs get the nectar gargled by the whole wide receiver room, and a touchdown from Rice.
Back-to-back touchdown drives in the third quarter. Mitch Holtis there on Chiefs radio. It was Travis Kelce who caught the second touchdown in that quarter after he spent some time getting his ankle re-wrapped. You can imagine that was a huge sigh of relief for the Chiefs when he returned. So Patrick Mahomes goes 31 of 41, nearly 300 yards, couple of touchdowns in there. Though Minnesota pulled within 7 points early in the fourth quarter. Maybe the hamstring injury for Justin Jefferson changes things there late, but you got to give credit to the Chiefs because they were able to lock down Minnesota when they had to.
27-20 Kansas City, 5 seconds to go in the game. The Vikings have the ball at the Kansas City 38-yard line. Chiefs have four guys, DBs back along with Kelce. Cousins trying to be harassed, stepping up, he's sacked, and that will be that, a sack of groceries to take home. It's a grab and go. Isles online, take it and run with it, a sack by Mike Dana to end the game. And the Kansas City Chiefs have their first win in the Twin Cities since 1996.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio with the Cappers. See what I mean about the defense? They come up with some big plays when they need to. And the Super Bowl champions move to 4-1 on the season. We'll talk more about the Niners coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.